This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Christina Severin. Christina is the president and CEO of the Community Care Cooperative, and we're going to talk more about what that is, her priorities, what she does, and more. Christina, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
I'd be happy to do so, Scott. My name is Christina Severin, and I am the president and chief executive officer at Community Care Cooperative, or as we call it, C3.
And what does C3 do? Tell us a little bit about C3, and then tell us also a little bit about what you're particularly proud of with respect to C3.
So C3 was founded in 2016 by a group of FQHCs, federally qualified health centers. These FQHCs were interested in banding together to be able to participate as a group, leveraging their scale together to participate in the Massachusetts Medicaid or MassHealth Emerging Accountable Care Organization or ACO program. Today, we have 18 FQHCs in our network, and of the 17 MassHealth ACOs in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, we are currently the largest and doing business throughout the Commonwealth. Additionally, we are the largest FQHC-based ACO in the country that is taking so-called two-sided risk, which means if we do a good job and we beat our budget, we get to save some of those earnings. And if we don't do a good job managing our budget and we overspend, we need to get out our checkbook and write the state back a check for some of those shared losses.
Take a moment, Christina. You've had great success. Talk a little bit about what you attribute that great success to. Why has it gone so well with C3 and the effort with all these federally qualified health centers?
I think there are a few important reasons why we've seen early success. First is our starting point. There is a lot of strong evidence that points to the cost effectiveness and high quality of care that is delivered by FQHCs. For example, there was an article published by the American Journal of Public Health in November of 2016, studied two groups of people. One group of people got their primary care at community health centers, FQHCs. The other group of people got their care at any other type of primary care setting. They studied these two cohorts prospectively over time and looked at cost experience on total cost of care. What the study concluded was that health centers delivered a total cost of care that was about 24% less expensive than any other type of primary care setting. The study also found that the quality delivered by these FQHCs was equal to, perhaps better than, quality delivered elsewhere. That was our base starting point and why we were optimistic going in that we would have the success that we are now seeing. Additionally, we have taken this effort incredibly seriously. At C3, unlike a lot of other bigger organizations that might be multi-line ACOs. They might have a risk contract with Medicaid, perhaps with Medicare, perhaps with some commercial carriers. Because we are a new organization, we have one risk contract. That is our Massachusetts Medicaid risk contract. It is all we do. We are solely focused on this. The last thing that I would add is even though FQHCs are studied to be the most cost-effective primary care organization, there is also good evidence to support that physician-led ACOs are more cost-effective than system-led ACOs. As an FQHC-led ACO, we are also would be classified as physician-led ACOs.
And take a moment, federally qualified health centers, just spend a moment on what the FQHCs are, because so many of us aren't really that familiar with FQHCs.
So FQHCs are sort of concretized into federal statute. They live within the federal government in HRSA, and they are called 330 health centers. I probably should be more expert, but that must be under the 330 statute. There are a lot of organizations that call themselves health centers. This is very common in the state that I'm in, Massachusetts, where there could be, in fact, I live in a neighborhood in Boston called Jamaica Plain, and there's a lovely place where my kids got care. It's called the Southern Jamaica Plain Health Center. It's not a 330 FQHC. It's actually a licensed outpatient clinic of a local hospital, the Brigham and Women's Hospital, which is a great hospital. FQHCs are truly independent. They are regulated by federal government, and there are specific conditions that they must meet. For example, they must have boards that are at least 51% composed of members of the community. They also have missions that include many things, but importantly, serving everybody regardless of their ability to pay.
Thank you very, very much. Talk now. You've built this great organization. It's really amazing. It's one of the most successful ones in the country. It's really amazing. What are the top three priorities the next 6 to 12 months? How do you sort of like continue the success, accelerate the success? What are the top goals, top priorities now?
Okay. So I would say, you know, one of our consistent goals remains in the top three. And that is to continue to do really well in this contract, to continue to find innovative ways to achieve the triple aim, right? So we've been doing some stuff, but how do we CQI what we're doing to further meet the quadruple aim? We're doing care management. How do we do that better so that we can improve the patient experience with that care management, so that we can reduce healthcare waste as part of that experiment, so that we can improve caregiver satisfaction, et cetera. So continue to refine the core way that we do business, number one. Number two is what we've seen during the recent pandemics. One, COVID-19. Two, the murder of George Floyd, and the uprising of a social justice movement around wanting this country to do more to promote racial justice and health equity. That is a priority for us as well. Health centers have always been on the front line in promoting health equity and racial justice. We are doubling down on those efforts, which leads us to three. Since the beginning of the COVID pandemic, we have been, like many other healthcare organizations, incredibly focused on telehealth. We, several months ago, based on a leading gift from the Patrick J. McGovern Foundation, started fundraising around efforts to raise money to support the telehealth efforts of any Massachusetts FQHC, not just the ones that participate in C3. We started something called the Massachusetts FQHC Telehealth Consortium. To date, we have raised almost $5 million. That will close out round one of our development efforts, and we will move on to round two. What we are really focused on, per my last comment, is bridging the digital divide. And bridging the digital divide as an important pathway to getting to a place where we have eliminated health disparities. When you think historically about the healthcare system, it primarily has been a system of face-to-face care. We know that this does not work for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. If you're low income, likely not to always work for you because of issues with experiencing lost wages to go to the doctor, experiencing impediments around transportation to go to the doctor, experiencing issues around needed childcare to go to the doctor. So we believe that if we can bridge the digital divide, meaning if we can have low-income people and Black people and Brown people have equitable access to these telehealth modalities, the telephone, a smartphone, a tablet, video enablement, adequate data plans, adequate minutes, that we can use those modalities to solve problems that those people and those communities experienced on accessing care prior to the COVID pandemic, so that we can rebuild the healthcare system with these telehealth modalities in a way that makes the healthcare system overall more equitable for the population served.
You're an incredibly focused and effective leader. Take one moment for our audience and give one piece of leadership advice, if you could, for emerging leaders.
I think that what my one piece of advice would be, and I get this from, I am very privileged to live next to a woman. I don't think she would mind me sharing her name. She's a good friend. Her name is Evelyn Tran. And her mother is Tenley Albright. And she's well known locally because Tenley was the first woman to win a gold medal in ladies figure skating in this country. After she hung up the skates, she became a well-known surgeon in Boston. She has an expression which I love and I use a lot, and that expression is, if you don't fall down, you're not trying hard enough. So my wisdom for emerging leaders would be, don't be afraid to make big mistakes. Like, don't be afraid to fall down, because when you take the risk and you make the mistake and you fall down, you pick yourself up and you learn how to be resilient and you dust yourself off. And it is those experiences of profound failure and picking yourself up where you learn the resiliency skills to go on and make more mistakes. And the thing about mistakes is that mistakes nurture success because they teach us how to succeed. Sometimes people say you have so many good ideas, right? I don't. I have a lot of ideas. Most of them are actually bad. They're failures. But if I keep trying with these ideas, some are going to work. And of the ones that work, some are really, really going to work. And those are the things that end up propelling success ultimately.
Christina, thank you so much. I do know who Dr. Albright is, and a magnificent quote and thoughts and idea and leadership idea. Just magnificent. I want to tell you how much we appreciate it, the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. You're joining us today and telling us the story of 3C, one that I was not very familiar with, and just magnificent results and great leadership. Christina, thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Have a lovely day.